will be a short homily. I believe the most important statement that we should reflect on is our Lord's statement that he could not work many miracles in his native place because of the people's lack of faith. God is Almighty. Christ is God. Christ can do anything he wants because he is God. But one of the mysteries of Christianity is that God has given us a free will, and having brought us into the world without our willing it, we shall not reach our destiny without willing it. The miracles that Christ worked during his visible stay on earth is the same Jesus. He wants to continue working those miracles now. That's what the Holy Eucharist is. It is Jesus Christ, the wonder worker of Nazareth, the one who told the wind and the sea, and they were still, who raised Lazarus from the dead. But, and what an adversity, we must believe. Believe in his divinity, believe in his power. Now, of working the same miracles he worked then. But what a statement. The power of omnipotence depends on us. He is willing and ready to work. And surely, if modern society, if our own America, if the city of Detroit, if it changed the noun, if the Archdiocese of Detroit needs anything, it needs miracles. And the condition is that some, please God, present company, some have the faith and beg God to work the miracles. He will. It is mysteriously up to us. Lord Jesus, we believe you are our God, really present in our midst in the Holy Eucharist. Strengthen our faith so that you might work the same miracles we so desperately need in our day as you worked in your day. Ah, oh, my dear Savior, only where there was faith. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The story of Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday should be an inspiration to all of us. What happened? It was Mary Magdalene, the converted sinner, that came upon Jesus in the empty tomb and was grieving because her Lord had been taken away. He then identified himself and then told her to go tell the disciples that he had risen from the dead. What are the lessons? Two important lessons. Mary Magdalene, the converted sinner, was chosen by God to announce that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. We might in general divide the followers of Christ into two classes. Those who had never lost God's friendship, who'd always remained faithful, and those who have been converted from a life of sin, and then those were specially chosen to proclaim the gospel to others. We may say God's plan over the centuries has been to use converted sinners as the most zealous apostles in the history of the church. You might say it adds up. God allows some people to sin, and sin deeply. And Mary Magdalene is the historic example of a converted sinner. Why? God gives the grace of conversion to sinners. So they then, being converted from sin back to God, might spend their lives converting other sinners back to God. It's both that simple and that important. What is God's purpose in allowing us to sin? He has many reasons, but one fundamental reason that Christ has for allowing people to sin is that coming to their senses, realizing how they had failed in serving the God they should have loved, they know the greatest zealots, the most generous apostles, the most selfless martyrs for extending the kingdom of Christ have been, over the centuries of the church's history, the greatest apostles to bring sinners back to God. We might examine our consciences and ask ourselves, what am I doing to bringing sinners back to God? What am I doing? My zeal, my generosity, my patience, my suffering as a condition for the conversion of sinners. Lord Jesus, we ask you, through the merits of Saint Mary Magdalene, to obtain for us something of her zeal in bringing the doubting apostles to believe in Jesus Christ. Her name in the church's vocabulary is Apostola Apostolorum, the only woman, Apostola, feminine gender, the apostle of the apostles, masculine gender. It took a woman to convince the men that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. Saint Mary of Magdalene, converted sinner, an apostle of the apostles, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the feast of St. Bridget, I think we should say something about St. Bridget and what she can teach us. Saint Bridget went through three stages in her life. Single, unmarried, married, had eight children. Husband died. She went to Rome and became a famous religious. The focus of her revelations which she received and of the writing that she did, the focus was on the passion and sufferings of Jesus Christ. Over the centuries now, over 600 years, her writings have been almost a symbol of how those who truly love God love to suffer as God became man in order to be able to suffer. There are four words that come out of St. Bridget's writings. They all begin with an S. Sin, suffering, sanctity, and souls. Sin, suffering, sanctity, and souls. Faith tells us, had there been no sin in the world, there would be no suffering. Not necessarily the one who suffers, or suffers the most, has been the greatest sinner. But suffering is the price that the justice of God demands in expiation, retribution for sin. God knows that. That's why God became man. God is God, cannot suffer. He became man to be able to suffer. But suffering leads to the highest sanctity. I tell people, if you haven't suffered in life, oh, you can get to heaven all right, but you will never be canonized. One of the conditions for being canonized is that you have suffered, of course, patiently. Suffering leads to sanctity. It may be small consolation, but our faith tells us the more God tries us, the more misunderstanding, rejection, bereavement, pain God puts into our lives. That's the formula. Big, bright neon signs. That's the formula for God sanctifying those whom he most loves. The key, of course, is to not merely resign oneself to suffering. Or, well, what else can I do? No. As Bridget, in one revelation after another, tells us, if we love Jesus, we want to be like Jesus. Love is assimilative. Love wants to imitate. Love wants to share. Very well. If the God who became man out of love for me suffered, and I claim to love him, and my friends, we don't have to look around. We don't have to tap people on the shoulder.
Would you please cause me some pain? They will always generously provide. Finally, sanctity is the key to apostolic effectiveness. Souls are saved by those who not only patiently, but cheerfully, lovingly suffer, suffer for those whom they love. When I talk this way to married people, oh, they hear me all right. You mean Jack. Father, you should live with him. Mabel. The pain, the suffering he causes you is God's way of telling you that you are to be the principal instrument in your salvation. He needs grace. He sure does, Father. Very well. The mazuma, the price you've got to pay for the salvation of souls, is suffering. One consoling thought. I didn't used to say this 20 years ago. I can now. The closer you get to eternity, you smile and look at that. It sure seemed like a long time. But the longest life seems like not so many years, but so many days. Saint Bridget, the great teacher of the sanctification of suffering and the apostolic effectiveness of suffering in union with Jesus, teach us that just as our Lord suffered on his cross for the salvation of souls, so if we really love him, we will love to join with him, sharing in his passion, so that we too might cooperate in saving those whom you, dear God, put into our lives, that they might be saved and sanctified by our patient endurance of pain. Saint Bridget, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As often as we've heard this parable of the sower, it is well to reflect that when Jesus speaks of the soil, S-O-I-L, on which the seed fell, he really means soul, S-O-U-L. The seed is the Word of God, the revelation that God gave us as found in sacred scriptures, and the constant inspiration that God keeps giving us by his grace. You would think of the Word of God, either from divine revelation or the grace of God coming constantly into our hearts. being the Word of God, would always, why not, produce good yield. But it doesn't. Of the four kinds of soil, four kinds of soul. The first three kinds produce no yield at all. Only the fourth produces any yield. And even there, the yield is not the same. Symbolically, 160 and 30-fold. There is nothing, I repeat, nothing more basic in our faith than a proper understanding of this parable, which, by the way, goes on many verses after the few we've just read. The key is, we have a free will. My friends, we have a free will. Even the Almighty, we have to say it, depends on our voluntary cooperation with the light and grace that God gives us. Mystery is a mild word. It is beyond human comprehension how even God depends on our voluntary response to His grace. God is generous, pouring His grace into our souls. So He does. So why does not everybody listen to God? Why are there scoundrels and saints? I like the definition of Saint Francis de Sales. A saint is a person who wants to be a saint. And a scoundrel or a criminal is one who wants to be a scoundrel or criminal. We have at our disposition, I repeat, we're scratching on granite. We're climbing the Himalayas. We do not comprehend, but we better believe that our free will, we must say this, our free will depends on how much, if anything, God's grace will achieve in our lives. That is why my Father in God, Saint Ignatius, in a prayer that all of you should memorize, called the Suscipe, "Take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty." And words that follow. It is our freedom, our liberty, everybody, but everybody, from the kid in the street to the politician in Congress, everybody is talking about freedom, liberty. Yes, my friend, yes. You are free, all right. But wake up. The purpose of our freedom is to submit ourselves voluntarily to the will of God. That's why we are free. We are not free. What madness. We are not free to do our own will. and in the measure that we voluntarily respond to and cooperate with the will of God, there is no limit to what God will achieve in our lives. Take, O Lord, and receive my liberty. Give me the light and the strength to use my freedom in cooperation with your will, so that the soil of my soul will produce the fruit that you want it to. Because, dear Jesus, I am so self-willed that I need your help to open my generosity in freely corresponding with your will, and thus be happy even in this life and possess heaven in the life to come. Because, dear Savior, only those are happy either here or hereafter who submit their freedom to your divine will. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the feast of St. James the Apostle, we might remind ourselves, what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of the apostles? In the Creed, we constantly repeat, we believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. What makes us apostolic? Four things. We know the faith taught by the apostles. We live this faith. We share this faith. And we suffer for the faith. Know, live, share, and suffer. First of all, we know the faith of the apostles. But, my friends, it better be the faith of the apostles and not someone's. And how much there is today, someone's theological or exegetical concoction. There is more theological fiction on the market than most people are willing to admit. How do we know this apostolic faith? First, the Scriptures. Daily reading, if only for a few minutes, from the Scriptures, I consider essential to knowing our faith. It means conversing with people who have the faith. Choose your friends and be sure they share your faith. Meditate. Pray. Reflect on the faith that we believe. Live the faith. It is not enough. It's only the beginning. Faith is not only cerebral. We are to live it and live it in the full and in the context in which we've read the gospel. Practice humility. There's a whole litany of virtues may be followers of Christ in the footsteps of the apostles, are to practice. There is none more basic than humility. Oh, how pride can hide itself. How proud people can mask their pride. Authentic, genuine, honest to God humility. I will recognize who we are, except for the God who brought us into being and keeps us in existence, we'd be exactly, mathematically, arithmetically, nothing. Humility. Then we share the faith. St. James, today's apostle, traveled all the way from Asia Minor to the furthest reaches of the Mediterranean. Santiago, the apostle of Spain. Thomas, at the other extreme, all the way to India. What an examination of conscience we can make, beginning with the speaker. How zealous are we to share the faith that God has given us? We are to evangelize, catechize, propagandize. When I meet the Hare Krishna people in airports, or the Jehovah's Witnesses ringing doorbells, or the two Mormons that came to Manhattan where I was living then, two well-dressed young men, called beforehand, said, Father Hardin, we were sent by the Mother Church from Salt Lake City to convert Father Hardin. I told him I was flattered. He talked for about an hour. Before the hour was over, he wanted to leave. I said, no, you stay here. You came to convert Father Hardin. Needless to say, he's working on you to convert you. Well, the zeal that so many who do not have the truth have to share their faith. What am I doing? And finally, my friends, have you do the first three? If you know your faith, if you try to live your faith, and you honestly strive to share your faith, you're going to pay for it. My friends, you're going to pay for it. One of the marks of the true church and of the true followers of Christ, the church is a suffering church. I like the phrase of our present Holy Father. The normal condition of the church is one of persecution. Thanks, Holy Father, thanks. I always thought so, but now I know it. And the suffering will have to be, sometimes, from those who are nearest and dearest to you. St. James, Apostle of Jesus Christ, obtain for us something of your own deep understanding of what Jesus Christ came to teach the world. Obtain for us something of your great generosity in living this faith. Help us to travel as you did to the furthest reaches of the then known world to share what we believe. And above all, obtain for us, if not the gift that you had of dying for the faith, at least of living a martyr's life. St. James, Apostle and Martyr, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.